This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
So, Paul, let's talk about the year 2017 that was pro wrestling. Yeah? Want to do that?
Sounds good to me. Sorry, I got distracted by my son being up out of bed again.
Aren't you in the basement, Paul? What's Sammy doing in the basement?
He's not. He's above my head walking around the kitchen.
Oh, okay. His mom will take care of him.
Yeah.
So, we heard Wesley jump up the other night and running across in the ceiling, and around the floor in the ceiling, and Kate and I, what do you think he's doing? I don't know. And then, she's like, Wesley, get in bed. And we didn't hear anything else, and we go upstairs, and he's sleeping in our bed. So, but anyways, like I said, let's chat up the year in wrestling that was 2017. Straight off the top of your head, what was your favorite thing? If you had to just pick one thing that was your favorite for the year.
Oh, man. My favorite thing in wrestling for 2017. Yeah. It probably was earlier in the year because the middle big chunk of the year was just like a big rolling disappointment for the most part.
Sure.
But I feel like it started getting better again at the end. My favorite thing in wrestling, and I mean, this may go back into 2016, but probably Bobby Roode. When did he join NXT?
Probably the end. He joined NXT like in the summer, but he did a lot of house shows before he came on TV. I feel like 2017, the beginning of 2017 is when he beat Nakamura for the title.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, because, he came and joined NXT, but, he really got going probably, right around the beginning.
Shinsuke's been on the main roster for almost a year. This April will be a year. And he dropped the title of Bobby Roode, at the January takeover, I believe.
Perfect. Then I'm correct in my statement there. Obviously, Bobby Roode's been around, but it's not like I really – I mean, I didn't watch TNA. AJ Styles, both of them, it wasn't like I knew what they were and then I got them in WWE. If anything, I saw them in WWE and liked what I saw, and I went back and watched some of their other stuff. And I think by now they've developed so much that what they do is just so much better even. It's just amazing how both of those guys have developed. But he was he was kind of like the fresh new thing. There's a lot of guys that I love what they do in WWE. AJ, Shinsuke, but Bobby Roode was he was the new thing for that year, pretty much. I mean, obviously he started the year before a little bit, but that was kind of his year in NXT, and then he came up to the main roster. And he hasn't been used a ton in the main roster, but when he has been used, Survivor Series, is as much as you can be disappointed in a lot of the content of that big last match. Did do some spots really well in that, and
Triple H versus thing. Bobby Roode, the match I never knew I wanted, but now I can't live without.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm surprised. I thought in all of wrestling, the thing that you would have picked that you enjoyed the most would be January 27, 2017, Westbrook, Maine, Limitless Wrestling. Take Me Home Tonight, Anthony Green and Ace Romero against the American Destroyers, Donovan Dijak and Mikey Webb, in one of the greatest tag team matches I think I've ever seen live.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
That show was the highlight of 2017 for wrestling.
For you.
I didn't really remember when it was, but it's been a while ago, but that's the last show I've gone to.
Great. You haven't been to a show in almost a year?
No, yeah. I haven't been to a show in quite a while, it's in a way it's hard to believe it's been that long ago, but it wouldn't have surprised me if you told me it was 6 months earlier than that even.
Yeah. No,
that show was great. That show really opened my eyes with Limitless Wrestling and the quality of that show. That show was also – Cody Rhodes headlined it. Watching Cody Rhodes in WWE was always he's good, but like, how much do you care with all the other guys around? You know, yeah. He had times when he was more entertaining than others.
Yep.
You know, him working with his brother was great and stuff, but still, it's like, I mean, the best he was, you know, B level basically.
You know, Cody Rhodes' best thing he ever did was leave the WWE, go out on his own. Because
him getting out of there, and I mean, his talent.
Yep.
No, it's not like, oh, I want to see him do what he did in the WWE.
Yep.
No. Now I can see it in person because it's like cheap and close to me or whatever.
Yep.
It's like now you get to see him do so much more because he's not bound by all the limitations, you know, because with all his talent, like, it doesn't matter how talented you are if you get minimal match time because you're low on the totem pole.
Right. I mean, he's been out of the WWE for like a year and a half-ish, you know, a little less than that. And, you know, he's competed at two Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Battle Los Angeleses. He had a three-match series with Kurt Angle that culminated in a steel cage match at NEW. He ran the Ring of Honor World's Heavyweight Championship, had a good six-month run with the title there. Wrestled at two Tokyo Dome shows, wrestled a lot for New Japan Pro Wrestling, toured the Indies for a good year, year plus. I mean, that's how we saw him at Limitless Wrestling, you know. I know he's got an exclusive deal with Ring of Honor right now where he's not working the Indies anymore. He's just working Ring of Honor in the States, but he's working Indies he can work Indies in like Canada, UK, Mexico, wherever, and then, you know, his deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Of course, the only exception being working PWG. But I mean, like, he has really made a name for himself, greater than he ever had in WWE, and just really showed with the Young Bucks, you know, guys who can work the independent scene and make a living on wrestling. They don't have to be in WWE anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I remember when some of the guys that left WWE left, like, oh crap, I'm going to blank on his name.
Juice Robinson was another one. He wrestles in New Japan now. It was, I think he was CJ Parker in WWE on NXT. He wrestled Kevin Owens in his debut match, and then he left and he went to New Japan, went to the dojo, became a young boy, and now he's got a good spot in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And he's a high demand on the indies now over here as well.
Yeah, Damian Sandow was the one I was thinking of that before Cody Rhodes left.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys that, like, you know, I mean, he did some fun stuff with what he was able to do. But, you know, like, hearing him talk about it, too, like, I like his kind of positivity with it. Like, I've done what I could do, and I'm ready to go do other stuff, you know, whether it's wrestling or not, you know. Yep. Obviously, well, you know, Cody Rhodes wanted to stay in wrestling. Damian Sandow was happy to, like, start moving into other things that he could do.
Yep.
With his creativity. But, you know, at that time, seeing guys leave was like, you know, well, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
But now it's like seeing guys leave, it's like, let's see how much they can do.
Yep.
Because there's so much potential out there. I mean, like, I don't know, like, it's not like I'm as in tune with the indie scene as you are by any means, but it feels very different. Especially seeing that Limitless Wrestling show and seeing the shows that they continue to put on.
It is a lot different. It is a lot different. There's a lot of guys out there now who you have all these it's like the independents have almost become the territories again, where before the WWE went nationwide, you know, you had WWF, you had Jim Crockett Promotions, Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, Georgia Championship Wrestling, you know, you had the AWA, you had World Class Championship Wrestling, you know, you had all these territories. And now you don't, they're not a territory anymore, but you have all these name independent promotions. Like, even 10 years ago, there was just nameless indies all over the place, but the big standouts would be Ring of Honor, you know, maybe ECWA, and, you know, maybe a couple others. But now, I mean, you have, like, all these different sections in the country, if you will, have these major named independent promotions that have all made a name for themselves via the internet, you know, via YouTube, via Powerbomb TV, via, you know, all these different resources and outlets they have, you know, like Evolve Wrestling tours around, Ring of Honor tours around, so I don't really count them, but you have, like, you know, AIW in Chicago, you have Alpha One Wrestling in, I think, Ontario, you have Limitless in Maine, you have Beyond Wrestling in Rhode Island, who also does Rhode Island in Mass, you know, you have House of Glory in New York, you have PWG in California, I mean, you have Russell Circus down in Texas, so you have all these, like, big-name indies now that you can follow and watch, you know, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I mean, it's changed a lot, where there's enough big indie promotions out there, and wrestling, I think, is at an all-time high popularity-wise. It's just not the boon that you saw in the 80s and in the 90s, because it's not just all these nationwide companies. It's an all-time high for these independent companies, you know?
Yeah, and with the advances in technology and the way social media and the internet is used, like, I think a big difference too is, it's like, there's no reason why you can't put out a decent product, not necessarily like quality of wrestling wise. Like, if you're a really little promotion and you can only get people that have like no experience, well, you start there, you know, but you can still put out something that's watchable. Video wise, sound quality wise, I mean, freaking cell phones. You can record video on your cell phone nowadays that is good quality video, you know? And then to get good sound stuff, you got to put a little bit more effort into it. But you can do all that stuff so much easier now.
Yeah, they have high definition. You can record high definition video on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. So even if you did that, you can do that and then you get good sound. So, you know, you record, if you have, you know, have commentators. And record the sound separately, and then you edit it together. And all that stuff is so accessible nowadays that there's no reason to have like really shoddy shit to put out there that isn't attractive to people.
Yeah, it's definitely not like it was. You know, it's not like in the old VHS days where, you know, you had an independent promotion that had a hard camera and that, again, a handheld. And then maybe some commentators, and, you know, you had to have an edit suite to put it all together, or, you know, or it's a crappy two VCR edits, and then you buy the tape for $10 and it looks like crap and it sounds like crap, and it's just like, well, you know, it's wrestling. It's changed so much. It's so much, like you said, everything's so much more accessible. It's really changed how wrestling is, how it's presented. And, you know, talking about Cody Rhodes for a minute, just going back, I wanted to bring this up. I mean, in 1 year's time, he wrestled at WrestleMania. He wrestled at Impact Wrestling's, you know, biggest pay-per-view, Bound for Glory. He wrestled at Ring of Honor's biggest pay-per-view, Final Battle. And he wrestled for New Japan Pro Wrestling's biggest pay-per-view, you know, Wrestle Kingdom 11 at the Tokyo Dome. You know, that's another, like, no one else has ever done that. No one else probably will ever do that. Like, he managed to do something that people, just, no one's done. And now he and the Young Bucks, they're presenting this show called All In, and it takes place. They named the date at September 1st, 2018. They have not named the venue, but, you know, it's going to be a 10,000 seat venue where these guys can are going to put on a show to show that you can be, you don't have to be the WWE to sell out a 10,000 seat venue for a wrestling show. And so, I mean, they're putting their own money up. It's going to be huge. I personally would love to go to it, but you know it's going to be in Los Angeles or Chicago or New York or Florida. It's one of those big markets like that. But, I mean, it's, you know, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, Hangman Page, Marty Scurll, they're all saying they're going to be there already. So it'll be interesting to see where it is, what the card is. You know, are they going to put it on pay-per-view? Or is it going to be on iPay-per-view? I'm kind of excited about it myself.
You know, another thing that's interesting, too, is you look from the reverse direction. Like, you know, we're talking about Cody Rhodes leaving the WWE and what he's done.
Yeah.
But some of the guys that have gone to the WWE has given some credibility to all these outside things. Not really in the way intended. It's not like, you know, with AJ Styles or Shinsuke that they bring those guys in and they're pumping them up that way. Like, oh my God, AJ Styles did this and this and this. I mean, you watch some of AJ Styles' earlier stuff, and it's probably JBL saying it too. It's like, you know, well, he was a champion in New Japan, but that doesn't mean shit here, is basically what they're saying.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing they do a lot.
Yeah, and But the thing is like, that's not what gave credibility to those other things. The right. fact that their other accomplishments cannot be denied, and
right.
there's enough fans that recognize all that other stuff they did, even though there's, you know, in WWE fans, there's probably more fans that don't have a clue what that stuff is, which right. is fine. But it's like, the credibility of it can't be denied, no matter how much they want to downplay that stuff and say, well, they're so accomplished outside doing these things, but that doesn't mean anything here.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Jericho was another one that would always say, like, well, hey, if it didn't happen in WWE, it didn't happen. You know, this is the big leagues, everything else is the minor leagues. And he says that, and he means that. And that's why I was so surprised that he went and worked the Tokyo Dome this year and wrestled Kenny Omega, because it wasn't a WWE ring. And just listening to him talk, I mean, it's almost obscene arrogance. How some of these people are just like, well, if it didn't happen, the WWE didn't happen. And I'm just like, no, WWE is not the be-all, end-all for professional wrestling, you know?
Yeah, I think Jericho understands both sides of things. If it doesn't happen in the WWE, that's like, I don't know, with comic books. If it doesn't happen in Marvel or DC, most people aren't going to know that it happened, right? You know,
right.
If it happens on another publisher, there are still going to be plenty of people who knows that it happens, but it's not the same thing, you know?
Right.
That's what it's like, you know? If it doesn't happen on WWE, it's not that level, you know? It's not Marvel and DC. It's not Disney. It's not, you know, it's not like that level of accomplishment. But that's one way to look at accomplishment. But at the same time, he worked his ass off to get where he is, so he understands the other aspects of accomplishment.
Right.
Which, you know, him going and fighting Kenny Omega shows that.
I mean, you watched that Kenny Omega match. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Jericho vs. Omega. It was a great match. It really was a great match. But, like, pre-sale for tickets for the Tokyo Dome before the deal, you know, going up to the day of the show was like 32,500, which is more than it's been in the last 10 years or whatever it is. I haven't seen if it was officially a sellout, but they have said there was more than 40,000 people in there. So day of walk-up sales were tremendous. People have been flying in from other countries now to go. It's like it's. I don't want to say it's become their version of WrestleMania, but I mean, like, WrestleMania is really the only pay-per-view that WWE does where people. It's a destination pay-per-view for them.
Yeah.
Wrestle Kingdom is becoming a destination event for foreigners to go to Japan to watch. Like, I would love to go to Japan and see wrestling at the Tokyo Dome, you know? And
I'll say two things real quick. Number one, don't tell me who won, because I actually want to watch it and not know and be surprised.
Okay.
I haven't watched it yet. Number two, everything you're saying, like, I'm considering subscribing to the New Japan
New Japan app, World?
Yeah, I'm considering subscribing to that, just talking about this Wrestle Kingdom. And I watched the – you sent me a couple of links. And I watched the link of the guy that was basically recapping the show.
Yep.
And I didn't quite finish it, because when he got to the Jericho-Kenny Omega match, I actually stopped it partway through because I didn't want to find out what happened.
Yep.
But just hearing him talk about all the different matches, like, you know, I would say at the beginning of 2017 – I was eager for wrestling stuff. You know, I like the
right.
You know, I still watch all the pay-per-views. I would want to kind of go into the pay-per-views, like, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown or anything like that, but I would want to kind of at least catch up on what's going on. I tried to watch NXT and keep up with that because I enjoy watching that. By the middle of the year, there's pay-per-view. It's like, if I was getting interrupted in the middle of some of the smaller pay-per-view events, I didn't bother finding out what happened or going back and watching it, because it was losing me, and I feel like it's kind of coming back around at the end of that. But I've lost that just excitement. Like, I don't care what happens. I just want to watch this because it's entertainment.
Yep.
With WWE, because some of the shows, they haven't even been entertainment. They've just been like, oh my god, like, I don't want to watch this.
Yep. I've been there.
But yeah, so this New Japan stuff that you're telling me about and how accessible it is.
Yeah, if you subscribe to New Japan World, let me just explain it real quick to you and to others that don't know, okay? No matter what day of the month you subscribe, the billing date is the first. So today's the 11th of January. If you subscribe today, you're going to be billed today for January, and then you'll be billed February 1st for February, okay? If you subscribe on January 30th, You will be billed for January on January 30th, and then you will be billed for February on February 1st. So make sure you think about that before you subscribe. You know, like, don't subscribe on the last day of the month, because you'll be billed the $9.22 then, and then on the first of the month, you'll get billed $9.22 again. It's 999 yen, which when I for my January bill is $9.22 American. For January, they have Wrestle Kingdom and then New Year's Dash the next day, which is always like their first new show of the year. And New Year's Dash is usually fantastic because, A, they have no advertised matches, because matches happen as a result of Wrestle Kingdom. And then, two, they start a lot of the new programs for the next year. So, like, on New Year's Dash, you had different wrestlers attacking different wrestlers, you know, to start new programs. For instance, the show ended with Chris Jericho attacking Tetsu Naito, which everyone, you know, Chris Jericho, he's going to be one and done against Kenny Omega, but my thought was, like, as soon as he gets there and he's going to see guys like Okada, Naito, Tanahashi, he's like, wait, I want to wrestle these guys. I want to wrestle the best in the world. And that's not going to happen always in WWE. And then if you listen to one of the podcasts he did with Don Callis, he's like, you know, Chris Jericho, like if he wanted to go to the WWE right now, like, he may or may not have a match at WrestleMania. You know, they have their things going on. They have everything else going on. You know, he's been there a bunch. Maybe they can find something for him. Who knows? But yeah, going to New Japan Pro Wrestling, he's headlining the Tokyo Dome against Kenny Omega in one of the biggest matches of the year. So for him, the draw of going there was new talent he wouldn't be able to wrestle in WWE, and a new challenge and a new style. And again, WWE's PG world, New Japan's not. That's the other thing. That's why you saw, like, you know, in the lead up to the match, Kenny Omega getting busted wide open in Fiyoko when Jericho attacked him at the end of that show. So anyways, sorry. But in January, there's five new live shows that New Japan has on New Japan World with English commentary. And I believe there's a couple others that have just Japanese commentary, which doesn't bother me at all. So it's like, that's worth $9.22 for me, because it's completely different wrestling. It's wrestling. There's no, you know, literally, like, when one match ends, the guy's walking to the back, but he walks to the back down a different aisle than he came to the ring, and they're already starting the introductions of the next people for the next match. I mean, like, it's, yeah. I'm not one of the, oh, Japan's way better than WWE, but New Japan is just, they're killing it right now. They're absolutely killing it, and for me, I think it's 100% worth anyone to subscribe to New Japan World to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, especially in January when you can get Wrestle Kingdom, New Year's Dash, and all the other shows near the end of the month. I mean, it's 100% worth it, in my opinion.
So are all these shows archived? So, like, if I wait till February and subscribe, like, everything that's kind of transpired, is it all there still for me to watch?
Yeah, if you wait till February, you can still watch all these shows in there. As a matter of fact, if you, like, I subscribe to New Japan World. So if you give me a second here to log in, I'll just give you a rundown, but I need to log in first. And it's in English. Like, when it loads up, it's in Japanese, okay? But then you can click the English button, and it'll switch it over to English. Okay. So, like, for instance, prime example. Right now, coming up, they do a tour with CMLL out of Mexico every year. They call it Fantastica Mania, and they have matches in Tokyo. So, like, January 19th, 4:30 a.m. Eastern Time, it's live. And it's a joint show between New Japan and CMLL. And so there's a lot of six-man tag matches. But once that's over, it'll get put into an archive so you can watch it. And they have another show on January 21st, January 22nd. And these are all live. I don't believe these have English commentary, though. Then, yeah. So then they have The New Beginning in Sapporo, and those will have English commentary. And that's on January 27th and January 28th. So there's plenty of... So in January alone, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 shows, 4 with English commentary, 3 without, that they have in New Japan that you can watch. And then if you click on shows, they have the complete listing. Like right now, you can go online, watch New Year's Dash. and you can either select English or Japanese commentary. Wrestle Kingdom 12, again, English or Japanese commentary. And then there's all their shows from last year. Lionsgate Project, Road to the Tokyo Dome, there's a couple shows there. There's a show from November. There's the entire World Tag League, which started in November and ended in December, that you can watch. Oh, I see. The show in November is Melbourne Championship Wrestling, where Okada went there. That's on here. Because Kazuchika Okada wrestled in Melbourne for a promotion there. But there's the complete World Tag League, which is worth watching. There's Global Wars UK, so there's shows from the UK to watch. There's so many shows on here, just going back in 2017, that you have access to in their library, if you will. And then they have things on here, like they have an English content menu. So if you just want to watch stuff that's in English, you can. If you want to watch matches that have English subtitles or promos with English subtitles or whatever, interviews or something like that, then you can watch all of those. And, you know, so they break that down as well. So, I mean, it's well worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely enough stuff, and just to get something different, and
yep. Because
sounds pretty great.
If you go to the shows section, okay, you can go back, like, you know, like, I just clicked on page 9, and it brings me back to 2016, and shows they did in Singapore, or shows they did in Tokyo, or whatever, and Korakuen Hall, and Osaka and everything like that. I mean, like, and some have English commentary, some don't. And then the further back you get, the less likely you're going to have English commentary. But realistically, if you're just watching wrestling, it doesn't matter. You know, you can exactly. go back to 2015 when Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles were there. I mean, and it's not just the Wrestle Kingdoms. You know, they have World Tag League 2013 on here. You know, I'm on page 21 in the show section. Now I'm back to 2011. Now I'm on page 25 in the show section, and now I'm back to 2002.
That's awesome. So that means it's just like if you just discovered WWE and then you got WWE Network and you go on there and you have this world of stuff to enjoy that would all be new to you. That's great.
Dude, I just clicked on page 29, and I'm back to March 1997 with shows.
So, all right, so now that we've sold this this subscription that does us no good really well, so what else about 2017? So we started talking about 2017 and went into this beautiful tangent.
Well, because New Japan Wrestling is awesome. All right, so one of my favorite moments of 2017 wrestling-wise, I made it to 11 shows, which, I mean, hey, 12 is one a month, I guess. But I made it to 11 shows, which I'm very happy about that. Including several Limitless Wrestling shows, a couple of IWE shows, and the Ring of Honor Best in the World pay-per-view from Lowell, Massachusetts. And that is where I captured what is my favorite wrestling photo I've ever taken. And it's the one where Cody Rhodes has defeated Christopher Daniels for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Cody's on his knees in the ring, and he's surrounded by streamers, and he's holding the Ring of Honor title belt, and he's looking down at it, and he's cradling it in his arms like it's a baby type of thing, and he's crying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the look on his face is pure emotion of him crying, and it's literally the greatest wrestling photo I've ever taken. If I ever meet Cody again, I'd love to get him to sign that, because, I don't know, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great, yeah.
So that's one of my favorite moments in person in wrestling. You know, but you can't look at 2017 without looking at the phenomenal three-match series that Kenny Omega and Okada had, you know, with their match at Wrestle Kingdom 11, and then their 60-minute draw at Dominion 2017, and then their third match at the G1 Climax semifinal, you know, where in that three-match series, Okada got a win, Omega got a win in a non-title match. And then they went to a 60-minute time limit draw, which, if you haven't seen that show from Dominion 2017, you need to go watch it, that 60-minute time limit draw match. So, I mean, they're at 1-1-1 in the series. So, I mean, they got to have a match sometime in 2018 to break that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you got those kind of highs. Then you compare that to the greatness of, like, Jinder Mahal's title reign in WWE. They had just some great moments this year. One of the reasons that I feel like things have been starting to move back in a better direction towards the end of the year is AJ Styles beat Jinder Mahal for the championship.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, when he beat him for it, Jinder was hurt or something like that. So you could look at reasons like that, and of course, then you're sitting there scared like, are they going to have Jinder beat AJ to take the title back as soon as he can? Which is wouldn't be a surprise to anybody because that's the kind of crap that they book.
Well, see, with them going to India, I thought for sure he was going to win the title back. And he didn't. And then he actually goes to India and wrestles Triple H and loses in his own country. So that shocked the shit out of me. You know what I mean? Like, you're building this market. You're bringing the hometown boy home. And I know WWE has a history of having people lose in their hometown for the most part, but you know, the whole reason he had the belt was to build this, and they have him lose to Triple H. It's like, okay.
So one of my bright moments was AJ beating him at, what was it, Clash of the Champions in December?
Clash of Champions? No, he won the title in England on SmackDown.
Well, yeah, but he defended the title against Jinder.
Cleanly. Okay, yep, you're right.
And that to me was the moment. It wasn't that was the greatest match to watch. I thought that pay-per-view was, like, top to bottom, at least okay. Like, the worst matches were just at least okay, and there were some decent stuff there. Yeah. So, like, that was the first pay-per-view in a while. I enjoyed Survivor Series also, but, like, before that, it was a long time before there was a pay-per-view that was more enjoyment rather than, like, sitting waiting for it to get over to watch, like, the one or two matches I wanted to watch. But AJ beating him with, you know, dealing with the outside interference and still beating him and not, like, you know, outside interference and then, you know, getting hit by that stupid finisher and losing – to me, that was a big, like, signal of, okay, we're moving on from this, like, segment of what we tried to do that, you know, it's run its course. So,
yeah.
You look at a lot of the stuff that they're doing right now, and you just kind of get a sense that the direction of things are changing, you know? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn teaming up, and, you know, then they tease, like, they're leaving, and they, you know, there's a lot of indication that maybe those guys weren't happy there and they were really leaving. But, you know, you look at what's kind of transpired, and it looks like yeah, it looks like they're building a good angle with those guys.
Right.
So that, you know, that's good, and I just hope to see Shinsuke do more, because seeing him job out to frickin' Jinder Mahal was the worst part of 2017.
Well, not even just him. Okay, it kind of goes back to, like, when Roman Reigns was champ and watching AJ Styles lose to Roman Reigns.
See, but at least there, AJ could make it look good, because Reigns is at least competent enough that somebody good can make stuff look good. Watching Shinsuke with Jinder, like, no matter how good Shinsuke is, like, that match just looked bad. The finish looked bad. What could he do? You know, I mean, it didn't look good. It didn't feel good. It didn't feel good in the way, like, I didn't want this guy to win because this other guy is so much better. But nothing about it was pleasant to watch. I mean, I still remember watching Shinsuke take that stupid finisher after the two little guys interfered.
Yeah,
and
it
looked like a joke. Like, he didn't even know how to take it.
Yeah,
It was bad.
There was nothing but garbage, yeah. It really turned me off from the product myself, like, tremendously, from wanting to see it, because I didn't like Jinder as champion, didn't want Jinder as champion, you know. For me, the shining light of WWE this year wasn't the main roster, it wasn't even NXT, it was the UK tournament last January. And another trilogy of matches that started there, which when we got... last January, we got in the finals of the UK tournament, Pete Dunne against Tyler Bate for the title, that Tyler Bate won. They had their rematch at NXT TakeOver Chicago in May, where Dunne beat Tyler Bate to win the championship, and then their another match November on the November 29th episode of NXT, where Dunn once again defeated Bate to retain the title. I mean, that was a phenomenal trilogy of matches there. I mean, that episode of NXT that week was an hour 16 minutes long because they went 25 minutes in their match. So, two really great trilogies that I can think of off the top of my head we got in 2017 between New Japan and WWE. But, of course, when you look at WWE, one of those, that their trilogy wasn't even on the main roster. So, and it was a couple of British guys that, you know, they're just complement each other's style so well they can't help but be well, you know, good together in the ring. The Mae Young Classic, there were some really great matches in there that really showed us some, you know, great talent from the independent scene around the world in women's wrestling that didn't sign with the WWE, like Piper Nevin, like Toni Storm, like Santana Garrett, you know. They just signed Candice LeRae, actually, I read online. Mm-hmm. To a contract, so
yeah, I mean, like, look at what we've talked about with the success of, you know, Cody Rhodes and other people on the indies, even people who didn't make a name in WWE and then go in and, you know, have that to help propel them in the indies. People don't have to sign with WWE, you know. I mean, Young Bucks are like a great example where why the hell would they want to sign? But I could see, especially with the you know, the female wrestlers right now on the main roster, they've got some big talent that they spend half the time wasting. They haven't completely wasted it, but it's like it started off great when you got the, you know, the four horsewomen brought up. Well, Sandra Bailey, and then she came later, I suppose. But you know, it's all looking great, looking like, man, they were really like setting up to have great wrestling in those positions, and then they start kind of, and you know, it's like it's easy for us to look from our position, say this is right or this is wrong, but they're not a company that's out to cater to you and me, and even you and I have kind of different standing points. Like, you know, you want everything wrestling, you want to, you know, dig into every little nook and cranny you can, which I used to be that way.
I want to try to find good matches.
Yeah, when I was a kid and I was into wrestling, man, I would have watched any damn thing I could find. Anything. If I found out that there was the smallest little whatever on TV in the middle of the night, I'd set my VCR up to record it, and I'd watch that, you know? And I'm not that way anymore. I don't have the time to go that deep into multiple things, let alone one thing. And wrestling isn't my number one thing. It's something that I enjoy, and I can... It's an easy entry for me. Like, I can just pick up and watch anything and enjoy it because I know enough about it to do that. But either way, like, you and me can both watch wrestling and say, like, well, these are the things we want to see that would be the best quality-wise, storytelling-wise, and they're not giving it to us.
Yeah.
They're not just catering to us. They got a lot of kids to sell to. They got a lot of other stuff to sell to. So you got to take the good with the bad.
No, you're right, and it goes back to something that Mike Quackenbush said on Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast, which was he presents Chikara, which is, if you look at wrestling in the forms of ice cream, his flavor of ice cream, his flavor of wrestling, his brand, Chikara, is not for everyone, but there's enough wrestling out there for everybody for them to find what their flavor is and what they enjoy the most. And if it's Chikara, great. And if it's not, then it's not. And that's the same thing. Like, do you have a lot of people that just watch WWE? That's all they watch. They don't know anything else about WWE besides that, like we talked about earlier. And then you have people like me who watch and look for everything wrestling can find, rather be Japan, Mexico, United Kingdom, Germany, Canada, United States, wherever, independents, majors, whatever you want to call it. I want to find good matches and watch good matches. Even if I've never heard of the guys, if someone said, hey, this is a great match, you got to watch it, I want to watch it. And then you have like you, where you have, like you said, you know, like you just described about yourself. So, I mean, I'm still in that I want to watch everything wrestling I can, but I'm more choosy than I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially with WWE, where there's so much content that's so available, if you absorb all of that content, you're just killing the time to watch other stuff. So you have to pick and choose a little bit more.
Like, I don't miss the WWE pay-per-views. I watch those. Those are the big shows I'm going to watch them. You know, I don't always watch Raw and SmackDown every week. Sometimes I just watch the clips on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that's enough for me. I read the results. I watch the clips they put on the WWE posts on YouTube. And that's enough. You know, I can't remember the last time I watched TNA. I read the results, or Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it. I read the results. I keep up on what's going on. There's a barbed wire tag team match coming up here I do want to watch. But for the most part, it's just – it's not – they're not producing anything that's driving me to want to watch it. I'm interested with Don Callis and Scotty DeMore taking it over. It does make me want to watch it once they start doing their tapings with those guys to see what they come out. But I watch NXT every week because it's a solid hour of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. The NXT weekly show kind of reminds me of watching wrestling when I was a kid.
Yeah.
With the style, with the format, with the match quality, with everything else. It kind of reminds me of wrestling from when I was a kid. And it's an hour. It's not a 3-hour commitment. It's not a 2-hour commitment. There's not tons of talking going on. So
yeah, it's pretty concise, and also nothing is like overly self-important. I was just thinking about this. So when I started watching wrestling again was basically when I moved to Maine, because I had gotten to know you a little bit because you're a relative of my wife's. I got to know you a little bit over social media before moving here. And, of course, you were a big wrestling fan. I had been a big wrestling fan. My wife got a kick that I could hold a conversation with you because I know enough about wrestling that even with your enthusiasm, to put it lightly, I could hold my own.
Yeah.
So, but when we moved out here, I had cable for the first time in years. I remember watching the wrestling shows, you know, like Amanda would be at work, whatever, and I'd watch some of the wrestling shows and be like, this is kind of interesting. And I kind of dug back and forth and watched some stuff. And but I remember, like, when I started watching it, I probably would have gotten bored after a little while if certain things hadn't grasped my attention. Those the two that right. like got me to really start loving at least part of wrestling again was Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. But when I first started watching, I didn't like either of them. I mean, I remember one of the first things I saw was a match that Bret Hart was involved in. He put the sharpshooter on CM Punk, and I think Rey Mysterio did a leg drop on him over the ropes. Something like that. But so I was rooting against CM Punk. I was like, who's this asshole, you know? Daniel Bryan, the first thing I remember from Daniel Bryan is him arguing with Tyson Kidd in the back about who was the better trainer, Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart. And I was like, obviously it's Bret Hart, so Tyson Kidd, let's go, you know?
no bias there at all, by the way, folks.
You know, years down the road, those two wrestlers were the only things that I really loved about wrestling, and like everything else is kind of like, you know, it's there, and you take the good that you can out of it, and there's some stuff that you just wish wasn't there. And then suddenly, CM Punk leaves, Daniel Bryan retires. And I seriously was there like, I'm probably going to just fall right back out of this, because what else is going to keep me in? And that's when NXT started picking up steam, and Kevin Owens, and who else was it back then at the beginning?
God, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Yeah, those two I think were probably the biggest ones that
the women.
Yeah, and right,
you know, that helped a lot.
Yeah, and that probably took a little longer because of how distasteful the main roster women's wrestling was. I probably took longer.
I remember you saying that, and I remember it was like, you need to watch NXT. They're not doing that down on NXT. NXT is at, they're giving these women a chance to wrestle and show what they can do.
Yeah, so that. Like those guys, and then like seeing that with the women's wrestling, that was probably the thing that ended up keeping me around. And then seeing guys like AJ Styles come in, and you know, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Bobby Roode are probably my three favorite things in wrestling since Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And if I really look at all of them and rank how I, you know, some of them, like Bobby Roode, hasn't been around a super long time, but like CM Punk is probably the bottom of that list now, and like he was a lot of fun to watch. But going back and rewatching, like, what made CM Punk great was his talking. He was good in the ring too, but like, you compare CM Punk's wrestling to Daniel Bryan's wrestling, and Daniel Bryan is like super crisp. Like his execution's amazing. CM Punk was kind of sloppy. It wasn't terribly sloppy. It wasn't bad, but like you see the difference, right. You know. And I think that, you know, AJ Styles' execution is one of the reasons why I just absolutely love AJ Styles.
Oh my God, he's so good. He is so good. I remember watching him back when he first started. Well, actually, I remember seeing him in WCW back in the day, as you know, him and Air Paris, their Air Styles or something like that. You know, they right near the end of WCW's run, AJ Styles were there. He was fantastic then, and then you really got to see him in TNA. And it's just like, holy crap, this guy is good. Like, he is so good. And then when he left TNA and he went to New Japan, I was actually excited he went to New Japan because I didn't think WWE would be able to use him right. And I still maintain that if AJ Styles had gone to WWE after he left TNA, before he had his 2-year stint in New Japan on the indies, he wouldn't be where he is now.
I completely agree with that. You know, like I said earlier, as much as WWE wants to deny the credibility of those outside things, it's just like when they finally had to give Daniel Bryan his moment to shine. At some point, you cannot deny what's there because people see it. People know it's there, and they tell you it's there. And if you continue to deny it at some point, people walk away from you. I completely agree with you. Like, he needed that time, and seeing him wrestle, like, I haven't watched any of his New Japan stuff, and like, just another reason I'm even more interested in trying out that subscription.
Dude, you gotta see AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Wrestle Kingdom 11.
I have no idea how much I want to.
Holy crap, dude. Like,
I've been wanting to see that since Shinsuke debuted.
Yeah, but that match that they had at Wrestle Kingdom 11 in 2016, just holy.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see that since Shinsuke debuted with NXT because I didn't know who he was. That was another one where you were super excited, so I knew it was important, you know?
Yeah.
So I was at least, you know, eyes wide open when he did arrive, even though I didn't have a reason for the excitement beyond you telling me that I had it, you know? But
dude, that match with Sami Zayn, that opening match.
Yeah.
You know,
that match. He earned it, that first match. That's still the best thing that NXT's ever done, the whole card wise, is that card. I've gone back and watched that again, and just so many things about that entire card were great. The lowest spot of that card was Austin Aries against Baron Corbin, and even that was a totally decent match.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm excited to see the Revival back finally.
Yeah.
That they're, you know, those both guys are healed up from injury. Like, I just, they're a tag team. They're definitely an old school throwback tag team that I can't get enough of. And so I'm very excited to see what they're going to do this year because their 2017 was not their best.
No.
And it's just all because of, you know, injuries. You know, first Dawson got injured and then Dash did, or vice versa. It doesn't matter. But one got injured and then the other got injured. But they're both healthy now, so I'm excited to see what they're going to do this year. And I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see the all-women's Royal Rumble match. I don't know. There's going to be 30 women. I feel like I'm already going to be pissed off because Nikki and Brie Bella are probably going to come back and one of them is going to win it, and that's just going to be fucking bullshit. But just the idea of, you know, an all-women's Royal Rumble, I'm excited to see what they're going to do. I was surprised when they said they were going with 30 because then you're using a lot of NXT talent on it. I figured they'd go with 20 at most.
But that's
a couple weeks
here. That's two full Royal Rumbles in the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, if you look at each one of those matches taking a little less than an hour, but, you know, I think they'll do 90 seconds in between, but that's 30 people apiece, so that's 40, you know, 43 and a half minutes just to get everybody in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then however long it lasts past, you know, the number 30 entrant getting in, plus the introductions of the first two. I mean, look, that's 2 hours of your pay-per-view right there.
The biggest thing I hope with the Royal Rumble this year is, I think they've gotten progressively bad about this, where they make it, they structure the match to set up certain spots with people. Like last year was completely ruined by a lot of the old guys they had in, because they brought them in too late. So you knew what was going to happen.
Oh, not the old guys, but you mean like Brock Lesnar, Goldberg?
Yeah, the old guys who've been around forever. Yeah. That they're not gonna lose to some of the other guys that are in there, and it just bogged down everything and ruined it.
Undertaker. Yeah, the way they had those guys come out so close together near the end, that was I agree with you there. That was.
And the last few years, the whole Rumble, it's like it's set up certain collisions or certain spots and stuff like that, and it hasn't been done well the last few years. It was done a lot better a few years before that, so I really hope that this year, with all the talent they have in there and kind of looking at where they are story wise they're not trying to build some Goldberg versus Lesnar bullshit. I don't think there are as many reasons for them to ruin it by forcing stuff that is like the most obvious tedious stuff. Still may be an obvious winner or a less exciting winner or whatever, but I really hope that they it seems like towards the end of this year they're kind of learning to not make everything so obviously structured where you can see what's coming a mile away.
I want to see someone win. They've never had someone win the Royal Rumble that wasn't obvious, in my opinion. Except when Hacksaw won the first one and Big John Studd won the second.
What about
one? Otherwise, go ahead.
What about when Rey Mysterio won? Was that obvious?
It was, actually. And it was a bunch of fucking bullshit.
So I watched that one going back. I was buying, they had those DVD sets that had had five of the pay-per-views, and they had Royal Rumble, and they had WrestleMania, and I was finding those and getting those and watching them. So when I watched that, because that was years before when I was watching it, and I had no clue. I had absolutely no clue anything that happened. So I was legitimately surprised. So to me, watching that with no ties to anybody else or anything, that was just exciting because I was actually surprised by it.
Well, all right, then I guess I can understand where you're going there. I guess Alberto Del Rio winning that year, that one kind of surprised me. But I got to see that one live, so that was even cooler because I was actually wanted him to win. I was rooting for him to win. But Roman Reigns winning twice now and Randy Orton winning again. Seriously, Randy Orton won again.
I can't even remember who won last year.
The year Triple H won. I mean, it's just where he won the title when they made Roman Reigns defend the title in the Royal Rumble match. I mean,
if you go back to the last few years, last year was Randy Orton. If they would have had Bray Wyatt win it and then go to WrestleMania and win the championship at WrestleMania, the difference in impact to that would have been huge. Bray Wyatt went to WrestleMania as the champion, which is still saying a lot.
Yeah, him winning the title at Elimination Chamber surprised me. So,
two great competitors, beating John Cena clean, beating AJ Styles clean.
Yeah, that surprised me.
So, that was pretty awesome in itself. The WrestleMania part of it was disappointing. The year before that was the year that Triple H won the championship, right?
Yeah.
So that was lame. You saw that coming a mile away. The year before that was the year Roman Reigns won, right?
Yeah, and that's the year no one wanted him.
Yeah, and the year before that was the year that he should have won, and Batista won.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So that year, I think, was the last time that was actually exciting because you really thought Roman Reigns might win it.
For my money, if you will, I would love to see somebody unexpected win the match. Because, honestly, at this point, you can have them challenge for the Universal title or you can have them challenge for the WWE Championship, and it doesn't matter. I would love to see Shinsuke Nakamura win.
Yeah.
And then challenge AJ
Styles.
That's
exactly what I would like to see the most.
That would be my dream win. Or even have Bobby Roode win. I'd love to see somebody win who's never won, somebody win who's never been the WWE champion or Universal champion.
Yeah, the obvious ones that you're not going with the stale, the stale championship match at WrestleMania of the safe competitors that you've seen before. I mean, Lesnar is still the champion, he's going to have the draw that he's going to have regardless of whether he's facing the Rumble winner or not. So why waste the Rumble winner on him? When you can put whoever you want against him, and it's going to have the same emphasis. So
I know that, you know, I think sooner than later, WWE needs to give us Nakamura against AJ Styles. And I think the first time those two guys have a one-on-one match in the WWE, it needs to be at WrestleMania. And you know those guys can deliver. And this would be Nakamura's first WrestleMania as well. Because last year, rumor had it, he was going to be Daniel Bryan's pick in that match against The Miz. So.
I don't even remember that match. So what ended up transpiring? The rumor was that, but what actually transpired? Because I don't even remember that.
You know, honestly, I don't remember off the top of my head either, but somebody else was brought in to wrestle The Miz at WrestleMania. Oh, no, Miz and Maurice Russell, John Cena.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Nikki Bella, yeah. So, but, anywho, I feel like they'd be missing the boat if they didn't give us Nakamura against AJ Styles this year.
Let me just say, I have high hopes for this Royal Rumble, and I did not have high hopes last year. Or the year. Yeah.
No, I agree.
I haven't had high hopes for the Royal Rumble in a while, which is disappointing because it's always been one of my favorite things to watch because of how unpredictable it could be. And they haven't played out any of the unpredictability, even in the course of the match the last few years.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. I mean, especially with them doing the Women's Royal Rumble, it's like they're obviously taking risks. They're obviously doing stuff different.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm off this year for the Rumble. I don't work that night, so you're welcome to come over.
I know where I'll be.
And, yeah, it's always more fun to watch it with somebody anyways.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'll be off that night, so I'm excited. Actually, my normal days off this year turn out to be Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is perfect. But anyhow, cool. All right, well, hey, you know, I know we actually didn't delve into 2017 as much as I planned when we sat down to start
this. I think we did as much as it deserved, at least.
I think we did this episode justice. So I think it's going to be it.
Sounds good to me. We'll just leave this with a fuck you, Jinder Mahal.
So I'm on the Twitter machine. I'm at Superstar ML. Paul, you're
at who's Paul?
Aaron's at Aaron S. Bell. Ronnie's Ronbar316. Check out my friend Brandon at Lucha Koopa. Don't forget to check out my wrestling blog, The Wrestling Insomniac, where I did something I'm really proud of. As hard to say proud of, I guess, but. I put up a post of wrestlers that we lost in 2017, and there's some names on there you probably grew up watching, names on there you've never heard of, but it's pretty near 40 wrestlers that we lost this year, so in 2017. So go check that out on the Wrestling Insomniac, and yeah, thanks.